Turn with me. The Old Testament to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. Thank God for a Savior that cares. Amen. Amen. Handfuls of purpose. What a blessing. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We'll look at one verse of Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 24, the very last verse of this chapter, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." I'd like to preach today on this thought: what a friend we have in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Our hearts have been stirred already. We're thankful for that. Lord, we come now to the time of the preaching of thy word. Lord, I pray that our hearts continue to be moved by thee. Lord, I pray for those that are listening this morning that have never put their faith and trust in thee. I pray that this would be the day. They would realize your love and they would give their life to thee. I pray for those of us that are saved that we would be strengthened and helped by thy word to carry on thy will with our lives. Lord, I know I need you if I'm going to stand and preach today. If I do this in the power of my own being, then it's come to naught. So, Lord, I'm asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell upon me and speak through me. I'm not worthy to stand here in myself, but I want to thank you, Lord, that you've made me worthy through the blood of Christ. Lord, may the message be clear. Lord, may it be directed into the hearts of people, and Lord, may we respond in obedience. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Bible says, "Man that hath friends must show himself friendly." I've heard people say before, "I don't have any friends." I think the Bible gives us a telltale sign as to why people don't have friends. Because the Bible says, if you're going to have friends, you've got to be friendly. But the Bible goes on and it says, "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Isn't that wonderful? The song says, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus." He's wonderful, isn't he? There's no other friend so kind and true. I'll tell you how he came to save me and what his grace can do for you. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Today I want you to know that we have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. The Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I want to tell you that friend is Jesus. It's none other than the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 17, one page over, says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." When the Lord Jesus Christ, you have somebody that loves you at all times. He loves you regardless of your background. He loves you regardless of the color of your skin. He loves you regardless of how much money you make. Regardless of who your parents are. By the way, he loves you regardless of whatever wrong you've done in your life. He still loves you. There's no other friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. And today he wants to be your friend. And I want us to look at the Lord today. And I want to see about this friend that we have in Jesus and see some things about him. I want to thank God for my friends. I have a lot of friends. I mean, I'm blessed. I have people here in this church that I count my friends. I love everybody, but there's some that you count friends. And you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's my friend, but some that you can confide in and speak to and talk to. And I have friends all around the world. I have friends in other nations. I have friends in other states. I have friends here, and I'm thankful. But there's no friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell him the deepest, darkest secrets of my soul, and he still loves me. What a friend we have in Jesus. When we think about the friend that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, I want you to see today that he is the Savior that will save you. He is the Savior that will save you. In the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, I want you to look with me if you will. When the Bible says in John 15, verse number 13, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And he says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." What has he commanded us to do? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To put our faith in Him. You know, we're friends to people if they're nice to us. The Bible teaches us that Jesus wants to be our friend in spite of us. He wants to show us His love and His mercy and His grace. There's people that pretend to be the friend of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, speaking of a man whom we've all heard and talked about, and even people that don't go to church know who I'm talking about. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 47, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast." So Judas said, "I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I'm going to tell you who this one is. I'm going to tell you who Jesus is. And this is the one I told you about. And when I give him a kiss, you get a hold of him." And the Bible says, "And forthwith he came to Jesus." Judas came to Jesus. "And said, Hail, Master," and kissed him. Look at what Jesus said. "And Jesus said unto him, Friend," isn't that hard to believe? How could the Lord Jesus call Judas his friend? I'm going to tell you how. Because he's getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary, and he was laying down his life for Judas. Jesus was the friend of Judas, but Judas was not the friend of Jesus. And Jesus is your friend today, but are you His friend? Well, how do I become His friend? You're His friend if you do whatsoever He's commanded you. What's He commanded you? Believe on Him. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You've got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other friend like Jesus. Jesus is a friend to the poor and needy. Jesus is a friend to the wise and to the wealthy. Jesus is a friend to those that have put their faith in Him. And by the way, Jesus is a friend for those that have rejected Him. He is their friend because He laid down His life for them. Thank God today you have an opportunity to say, "I want to be your friend. I want to give my life to you. I want to put my faith, my trust in you. I'm willing to admit that I believe that you died on the cross like the Bible says, that you were buried like the Bible says, and that you rose again the third day just like the Bible says. And I'm willing to put my faith in what you did on the cross of Calvary." He is a Savior that will save you. Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And of course, we know the story. They took him and beat him and bruised him. They mocked him and made fun of him. They nailed him to a cross, crowned him with a crown of thorns. They spat in his face. As he was hanging on the cross, they made a sign that said, "Hail, King of the Jews," making fun of who he was. But 3 days later, the Bible says the one that those were making fun of arose triumphantly from the grave. Why did he die? He died for you. He died for me. He died so that we could have life. He came into this world. God robed himself in flesh and came into this world and took upon him the form of a servant. And the Bible says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And the Bible says, even the death of the cross. What a horrid death. What a terrible death. The death of a cross is the death of shame and the death of sorrow. The death of the cross is where you're stripped and you're hanging naked before an open crowd of people. And the Bible says that his visage, his body was so marred, you could not even recognize him as a human being. Why did the God of all ages, the Creator God, why did he go through such a thing? Because he loves you. Because he cares for you. Because he wants to be your friend and you to be his friend. He wants to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He wants to redeem you. He wants to save you. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you hope in a hopeless world. He wants to give you joy in a joyless world. He wants to give you love in a world that's without love. And it only comes through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus loved those who did not love him. The Bible says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to me, and he came to you. So why did he robe himself in flesh? Why did he go through what he went through? Why did he die on an old rugged cross? Because he came looking for us. He came seeking us, and he came to save us. All of us who are lost, well, who's lost? The Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's no doubt about it today. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. There's only two ends to life. One is heaven. The other one's hell. Dear friends, there's no holding place. There's no gathering place. There's no just end of it all. The very moment that you came into existence, you became an eternal soul and an eternal being. And you're going to spend your eternity either in heaven or in hell. And the Bible's clear about it. Well, how do I know? What's the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Dear friends, you can say, I'm a Baptist. Well, if that's what you're depending on, you're on your way to hell. You can say, I've been baptized. You can say, I'm a member of a church. You can say, I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good person. I try to do the right things. But the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, how can I be born again? What is the way to heaven? Jesus Christ is the way. There's no other way. You're not saved if you're trusting anything other than Christ. He paid the debt. He's the Savior that will save you. Well, who will he save? He says, him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that liveth and believeth in me, that's who he will save. So, what keeps people from trusting the Lord? Well, they're just not willing to put their faith in him. They think they have to work their way to heaven. They think they have to do this. They have to do that. They have to turn over a new leaf. I'm telling you, it's not about turning over a new leaf. It's not about getting a haircut. It's not about the right suit of clothes. It's about putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins to work on the inside, and it begins to work all the way out. You don't have to get this, and this in order to be saved. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you're saved. He's a Savior that will save you. But not only is he a Savior that will save you, he is a Savior that can satisfy you. I like that. You know, we live in a world with materialism. It's all about, you know, boy, I've got to have this. You know, I've got to have the new high-tech, high-caliber, blah, 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 and all this different stuff, you know. It's like people, they get a new computer every few months because the old one, by the time you get it on your desk, it's outdated. You know, just forget about trying to keep up with it. I've got to have it, you know. I'll not be happy until, I've heard people say this, I'll not be happy until this is mine. I think about sports. People, man alive, they love sports. It's something I really try. I love it. But when I come to church on Sunday, I don't talk about it. You know, I'm trying to have my mind set on certain things. But Pete, this is a world filled with sports, you know. I've told you around here before. I said, you know, as much as I love college football, I come to church on Sunday, I don't want to talk. I don't care if my team wins or loses. It's in the time or the place. Now, Sunday night after church, we'll sit and talk, you know. Right now, I don't want to talk to anybody. But anyway. And by the way, some of you shouldn't want to talk to too many people either. So, Lord, forgive me. That's fleshly. We live in a world that, you know, it takes things to satisfy. There are people that are working 24 hours a day to try to get. But they're never satisfied. I was reading the story, and I've got just a statement or two here. There was a man that got saved, and 6 weeks later he met with the preacher, and this is what he said. He is talking to this preacher. He said, "My father is a multimillionaire. He owned a steel factory. This is years ago." He said, "I had everything I wanted in this world. I've traveled the world. I tried it all. But I was never satisfied. But when I got saved, I got everything I needed." I want you to know you'll not find joy in this world. It not only won't be in a new car, you get it, and a few months later somebody will ding it or the engine will wear out. A few years later it's gone. But when you get the Lord Jesus Christ, He's new every day, and He fulfills and He satisfies your soul. There's nobody like Him. There's no other friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gives you peace in the midst of the storm. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 and verse number 27, "Peace I leave with you." Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." The world's going to try to say, you've got to have all these things. The finest of homes, the biggest of houses, the newest of automobiles, the everything. You've got to have this and you've got to have that, and you've got to be in this society and in that society. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that you're going to find a peace in Jesus that this world cannot give you. If you're looking for peace in a place in society, you'll not find it. Look at the people that have worked all their lives to be senators and congressmen, but they have no peace. Honestly, tell me one you like right now. I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, they bear it all. And, you know, and they work and they think, boy, if I could just ever get to this place. It started out maybe being, you know, a council person, or then maybe a mayor, maybe being like in some kind of thing, and then maybe a governor and maybe a senator, and then they want to work their way up to president. And boy, they think, I've just got to reach the top. I've got to reach the top. I've got to reach the top. And you know what? They just never seem to get satisfied. It's the same way in our workplaces. I know people that they worked and worked and worked, did everything they could, never got satisfied. I worked with people that worked 1,200 hours overtime in a year. Why? Because they felt like they had to have all these different things. And they were never satisfied. And I told many of them, you'll never find your satisfaction in the things of this world. Because whatever you buy will tear up, it'll get old, it'll wear out. How many of y'all have had a new car in your lifetime? New car, brand new car. And you get in, boy, it smells good, don't it? Man, I hate to get in a new car if somebody else has, because I want one then. You know? I mean, I get in, I'm like, man, I like how that smells. Smells so good. 6 months later, it don't smell as good, does it? Especially if you got kids. I mean, it's like you get in and you go, need a new car, you know? Why? It satisfies you just for a little bit. But you want to know what can satisfy you eternally? The Lord Jesus. He'll satisfy you. He's a Savior that will save you. He's a Savior that will satisfy you. And then finally, I want you to see that He's a Savior that will sustain you in the storms of life. Anyone that doesn't know the Lord really has nobody to sustain him. There's a great story in the book of Acts. We won't read all this story, but just to give you a few highlights of it. Acts chapter number 27, of course, you know, Paul's being sent to Rome, and there's a great storm that rises up on the sea. I'm telling you, it's a storm. The Bible has a name to this storm, and it tells us what this name is. Paul has given them warning, and he told them, he said, this voyage will bring hurt, it'll bring much damage, and not only of the laden of your ship, but also of your lives. In other words, you're putting yourselves in peril. Paul walked with God. Paul knew things that worldly people did not know. But a centurion said, I'm going with the master. I'm going to listen to the master and the owner of the ship. He knows what he's doing. So they get on board the ship, and they're sailing. And as they sail, there's the Bible says a tempestuous wind called a Euroclydon. It may not be the right pronunciation, Euroclydon. And the ship gets caught up in this storm. I'm telling you, this is a storm. 276 people on board this ship. We know 270 of them, no doubt, wicked people, ungodly people. And Paul is on board the ship. He's already told them, you don't need to be going on this cruise. You don't need to be going on this journey. You need to wait. It's not the time. But they listen to the owner and the master of the ship. And they get on board. And the Bible teaches us that they fasted for 14 days. They hadn't eaten in 14 days. And all these things are happening. They begin to throw things off board. I'm telling you, they are literally scared to death. They begin to throw things overboard to try to lighten the load because the ship is going to sink. It's taking on water. Paul gets along with God. And he comes up after being with the Lord. And he says, everything's going to be all right. The winds and waves are blowing and rocking the ship. And he says, everything's going to be all right if you'll just stay on board the ship. None of you will lose your life. Everybody else is scared to death, but here's Paul, faith in God, trusting in the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. He says, you haven't eaten in 14 days. He says, time to eat. We don't have time to eat. There's a storm. Time to eat. Get yourself filled up. Of course, we know the story. The ship broke, but everybody's life was saved. Because listen, how could Paul have so much confidence? Because God will sustain you in the storms of life. You can put your faith and trust in Him, and right in the midst of the storm, He'll prove Himself to you. Look with me, if you will, a great story. I want you to look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. I hope that you'll look at this. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him into the other side while He sent the multitudes away. Matthew 14, 23, and when they had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, it's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Well, think about what's going on here. They're on board a ship. And the winds are howling. And in the midst of the storm, Jesus comes to where they are. And they look and they're afraid. But then they hear the voice and He says, be not afraid. It is I. Peter answered and said to Him, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. I know Chris just preached on that. Peter has come down out of the ship and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. In the midst of the storm, now I'm talking about storms here. And Peter walks on the water. How far did he go? I don't know. But I do know this, when he got his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. And a lot of times we'll call upon the Lord Jesus in the midst of a storm. And we'll get our eyes on Him, and at the time we can walk on water. But then the devil keeps howling, the devil keeps blowing. But if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, everything will be all right. But if we get our eyes off of Him, we're going to begin to sink. We're going to have the battles. He'll sustain you in the storms of life. There was another time He and His disciples were on board a ship. And the Bible teaches us that the ship began to sink and they began to be afraid. And they said, we're going to die. I mean, it was bad. Water coming on board. That ship was rocking and waving back and forth. And somebody said, go get Jesus. You know where He was? He was asleep. How could you be asleep in such a storm? Because, dear friends, He's the master of the sea. He's the creator of the world. And when you put your faith in Him, He'll carry you through the storms of life. And they went and they got the Lord Jesus Christ. He came up and He said, oh, ye of little faith. He held up His hand and He said, peace be still. And the winds and the waves ceased. Sometimes it's just that He's waiting on us to call for Him. But He's a Savior that'll sustain you in the storms of life. What are you going through? He can sustain you. It does not mean that everything's just going to turn around and He sustains us. See, He gives you peace in the midst of the storm. You're living in a sinful world. Your body's decaying. Your body's going away. We have a picture on top of our television stand of Jody and I back when we were married. We weren't married. We were married. But it was early on, wasn't it? And my little nephew, Jacob, was it Jacob? Said, Emily. It was Emily, my niece. I just heard the story and it saddened me. Looked and said, how come you don't look like that anymore? I'm going to tell you why. It's our body's giving way. Age is coming on. Other things coming on too, but age, really. I have wrinkles that I didn't used to have. You know? I've got aches that I didn't know existed. This body's giving way. It doesn't mean I won't grow old. It does not mean that death will not come. But the Lord Jesus will sustain you in the difficult places, in the storms, and in the trials. I've been through a lot of storms in my life. I'm sure not near as many, probably not near as difficult as some of you have been through. I was saved August 26, 1985. I'll never forget that night. Greatest night of my life, greatest time of my life. And I've been in a lot of storms since then, but I want you to know He's been in the boat with me. And sometimes them waves would be rocking the boat, and boy, I'd feel like I'm going to die. But when I realize and just remember He's on board, I want you to know He sustains me. As long as I'm living for Him and doing His will, He's going to take care of these things. And I would rather be with Jesus in storms on life's raging sea than to be in the sunshine without Him. What a friend we have in Jesus. You may be going through the battles of life. Could be battles with your children. Could be battles with your spouse, your job, your school, your friends, your finances. I want you to know He can sustain you. But we have to obey Him. And we have to trust Him. He'll give us victory when we can't even see victory. He'll give it to us. There's another song that says, I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what His grace can do for you. His grace has been extended to you today. You're here as friends, as family. If you're visiting with us, many of you here as friends and family. Others are here week by week, and you have friends and family. As much as these people care about you that brought you here or that you're sitting with, the ones that you've invited, as much as they care about you that are here all the time, I want you to know there's no greater friend than the Lord Jesus. And you need to know Him today. He needs to be your Savior. He'll save you. He'll satisfy you. You can't get satisfied in this world. Eddie Murphy said, he said he's never been satisfied. And he's had it all. But he's turned to drugs, he's turned to everything, trying to fulfill it. He's never found it. You know where you'll find it? In Jesus. And He'll sustain you in the storms. Come to Him today. He stands ready, waiting, willing to take you however you are and to give you new life. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the day You've given to us, Lord, that we could open up this Word to bear witness to the truth that You've given to us. Lord, no doubt in our midst this morning are people that have never put their faith and trust in Thee. Lord, they may be trying to find other things that will satisfy. Lord, there are those that are going through the storms. Lord, we realize that Your precious Word teaches us that we must turn to Thee, put our trust in Thee, to put our faith in Thee. Lord, I pray that You'll be with those that need to make some decisions today. Lord, would You help us to have the boldness to do that which is right. Save those, Lord, that are here that's never put their faith in Thee. May this be the day. The ones that are going through the storms, Lord, I pray that they'll find You sustaining them, carrying them through the storms, and regardless of the end, knowing that with You guiding them, everything will be all right. Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll help us to find our satisfaction in Thee, to quit looking to the world, to quit looking to society, to fame, to fortune. But Lord, help us to look to the One that's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. I want to thank You and praise You. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.